The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clapp for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clapp.
This is the HOD Hour, and you're talking to Stan Clapp. You're listening to Stan Clapp, and we are privileged today to have two guests. But let me just set a little bit of the scene. We're now on day 56 of the lockdown, and I'm sure a lot of people are worried about their finances, are looking to for ways to combat whatever might come their way in the way of retrenchments or maybe businesses are closing. So we invited two guests tonight. One is Sean Galgor from Carrick Wealth, and the other is Ded Creel from Momentum. And we're going to just explore a little bit of the options out there, what it means, what you should be doing, what you should be, how you should be handling yourself in these times. I want to start off with just a little bit of a good news story. The Hebrew Order of David this week donated 20,000 rand to Yad Aharon, which services those people in the community who are less fortunate than ourselves. And they're asking that other organizations try to match or give more. I mean, the growing number of people who are dependent on meals from Yad Aharon is almost frightening. And so we decided today, this week, that we would. It's the Harry Groman Lodge in Benoni, and we're going to, and they've asked other organizations to match. And if you want to contact Yad Aharon, you are welcome to talk to them. And I hope that you'll make meaningful donations. So going back to the discussion, Sean Galgor from Carrick Wealth. Sean's a qualified CA with over 25 years of international and local financial services experience. And Odette is from Momentum. She's has an honors degree in industrial psychology, BLC, LLB law degree, and she's with a postgraduate diploma and an advanced postgraduate diploma in financial planning law. So both well qualified to open this discussion. We'll go a little bit deeper into the history with the organizations, but let's just kick off with a little bit of something. Just to ask the two guests not to move around and not to make a noise, because all noises are very audible on, if you touch something, it makes a noise and deafen the audience. Let's rather use our mellifluous tones to intrigue them. So Sean, do you want to kick off and just set the tone? What should you be doing? What should you be getting? How do you handle yourself? If you need cash, what do you need? How do you get it? And then afterwards, what are you going to do to plan for the future now that you're unemployed, or you need money, or maybe you don't need money, but you certainly are cash strapped?
Okay, Stan, thanks very much for the intro, and thanks for inviting us on the show. So yeah, unfortunately, we're in tough times now, and we need to plan properly and understand where we are.
Sean, can you come a little closer to the microphone?
Sorry, can you hear me now? Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to get... So yeah, so really we just need to understand where we are and where we're going to. So I just wanted to maybe take you back a little bit in time. So just to set the scene. So if we look back at last year in 2019, so I mean things were going relatively well in the world. I mean the markets had run unbelievably well in 2019. I think they had a record stock market run. And then early 2020, who would have thought that really a bat in Wuhan would have changed the whole world? I mean, it's really been a complete change to everyone's life, everyone's lifestyle, and obviously finances have changed completely. So really,
Sean, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're very indistinct. It's a very low volume. I don't know if you can come closer or you can put the microphone closer to you.
Let me see what I can do here. As close as I can be, right on top of my computer. But that's better.
That's a bit better, yes.
Okay. So I'll speak here. So let me start again. So just, is that clear? So just going back to 2019, the markets were really running great. We had a great run. And then no one would have expected what's happened to us. I mean, I think we all been in shock and state of dismay and how things going to go forward. So just really, I think it's all a matter of choice about how we're going to approach this thing. The first thing I always advise people when I speak to them, just let's get your strategy in place first. Let's just understand what your strategy is. So I like to break these up into three buckets. Your first bucket is really, what am I going to do now for cash now for this month, for this week, and going on for the next year? What am I going to do for cash? Then the second bucket is, how am I going to plan for the next, because life's still going to carry on. You know, once we get to post-COVID, we need to also carry on and plan for the future. So I need to also look what's going to, in the second bucket, what's going to happen for the 12 months, next 12 months, to the 36 months, so 3 years out. And that needs to be some planning of, you know, there's going to be bar mitzvahs, there's going to be events, and I need to plan for that as well. And then I look at 3 to 5 years plus, and then that's looking to retirement. And what am I going to do with this? So I think, first of all, you've got to look at your strategy. You've got to analyze what assets you've got and how you're going to put all those assets into the three buckets. So now it's no use raiding the cupboard and just using up all your cash now. Come 2 years' time, and you don't have cash. So we need to be very mindful of where we're going. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, it goes some way towards it. I mean, it's all, it's easy to describe, but in practice, it's probably a little bit, hairy out there because, you know, people are using up their reserves. They are having to draw on reserves. And possibly they don't know that they're entitled to draw on some of those reserves. So, Adet, do you want to come in and tell us from the momentum's point of view, what is available, how you would advise people on this?
Yes, sure. So when you get retrenched from work, you will typically receive two kinds of benefits. So the first would be what you will receive from your employer, and the second will be what that will give you access to withdraw from your retirement funds at work. So if we can talk quickly about the employer benefits, that will typically be we call it a severance benefit, and if in accordance with the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, there could be a minimum of 1 week's salary for each completed year of employment that an employee will receive when they are retrenched. In addition, the employer will also pay any leave pay due and perhaps a pro rata bonus and notice pay. So you can expect to receive that from your employer. And then if you've been with the company for quite a long time, you will have that as cash withdrawal. And this is taxed on what we call a lump sum withdrawal tax table. And it's quite a beneficial tax dispensation. So you can get the first $500,000 tax-free. The second benefit that you can expect to receive is your retirement funds, which of course for Momentum is actually it's very valuable money, because when you are retrenched, you don't know that you're going to find work again, definitely. So we don't want people really to withdraw this money. But of course, there are situations where people need this money and they need to withdraw it. And so the rest of the discussion, I will concentrate on more on the retirement benefits, which clients can access at retrenchment.
Okay.
Dan, if I may jump in there.
Yes, Sean, please.
Okay, so I think just as Adet says, yes, there's various types of packages, various components you're going to receive if you are retrenched. There's your retirement benefits. And then there's also your risk benefits. So if you're working for a larger corporate, there'll be, I think we would also put it in various categories. So people who are working for larger corporates may have these benefits. People working for smaller businesses, SMEs, may not have these benefits. So I'm going to just talk about the larger corporates. So if you are in a big corporate, you generally have a pension fund, which can move out of the pension fund. once you leave. There are ways, if you're over 55, you can, there's ways to access it. It's a bit technical, but you can access that money quite quickly. There's special, and Adele can come in there with the technicalities on how you actually access the funds. Either on a retrenchment benefit, or you can convert it to a living annuity, but it gets quite technical. But there are definitely options to wait. Another very important thing, which is very much overlooked, and that may be one, you know, it's probably one of the insurance company's best kept secrets, is if you're in a corporate, you can actually move your risk cover as well. Because your life insurance, your disability insurance, your income protection, without any medical underwriting. Now, this is very important for especially people who may be ill or elderly, getting on 50 plus. So it's very important that you keep your life cover in that cap, because you may not be able to get it again. So those are the two very important components if you're coming out of a corporate type of environment. Maybe, Adele, you can add something to that.
Yes, so clients can use their group benefits and continue contributing to it. So I would think if you're not that young anymore, that would be ideal, so that you can continue with those benefits. So would you like me to talk about how you can access your retirement fund savings if you are retrenched and you need cash?
Yes, that's very, I think that's quite an important part of the whole discussion, because I don't think people want to actually take their money out per se, but they do need to access some cash during these times, because maybe they've taken cuts in salary, maybe they've taken, maybe they've had to, you know, tighten their belt, maybe they have already been retrenched, or the company's in difficulty. So yes, I think that's an important question.
Okay, so if you are not yet retirement age, you will have different options than people who are already of retirement age. So just shortly, retirement age could be anything from 55 and older. Some employer funds even have retirement dates as young as 50. So for instance, where I work, I must retire when I'm 60. So depending on when your employer fund retirement date is, you will find yourself either younger or older. So if you are not yet retirement age, you can withdraw the full amount from your retirement fund as a lump sum, or you could transfer the full amount to another approved retirement fund to preserve this money. So it can really be any fund. It can be your next employer fund. Maybe you find other work quickly. You can transfer it there. You can put it in a preservation fund and so on. Or you can do a combination of the above two, which is you can make a partial withdrawal and you can preserve some of the retirement fund money. And so, but what can you do if you are retirement age already? If you are of retirement age already, if you are a member of your employer's provident fund, you can withdraw the whole amount, or you can also just withdraw a portion of it. And in the case you don't withdraw everything, you must pay the living annuity with the remaining money. So that will be a living or a life annuity, which is meant to provide you with an income for the rest of your life. And if you are a member of a pension fund with your employer, you can only withdraw a maximum of 1/3 when you are retrenched and you are older than your retirement age. The remaining 2/3 must also be used to purchase an annuity, which must provide you with an income for the rest of your life. And this is very important, because what Treasury and government is actually saying is, we want you to be able to look after yourself, even though at this point you don't have work and whatever. We must remember that you have to sustain yourself with income, and so that's why they put those limits on people who are of retirement age yet, because there's this fear that they will outlive their income.
What is the, when you're in a position of retrenchment, and you now are going to retire and you're going to take this money out, what are the criteria? Do you need to, your taxes need to be up to date? You know, what are the, what's the steps? There's a really big noise in the background. Somebody's either got a radio on or people in the room or...
It's very quiet where I am. Sorry.
About me. Not so about me. I'm in my room by myself, so I don't know if it's definitely quiet.
Okay, I don't know. There's a noise in the background. Okay, I'm sorry. Carry on.
Sorry. How it practically works is, so the pension fund at your employer have got an administrator, and it's probably a large company that does pension fund administration. Like Momentum has also got a large area where we do pension fund administration. So what will happen is the pension fund administrator will be informed that this person has been retrenched and is now going to make a withdrawal. And then in terms of all the income tax laws and SARS's wide arm of justice, we will first send that instruction through by way of a tax directive. We have to get a tax directive from SARS. And as you know, SARS knows everything about you. So if you owe SARS money and that SARS directive hits SARS and they see that this person is going to come into some money, it could be, unfortunately, that they will deduct the debts to SARS from that money. So it's of course best to have your tax affairs in order for days like this when you really need to have access to cash, because SARS can lay claim to any withdrawals if you owe SARS money.
And so then the reminder, what are the steps if you owe SARS money? And you want to get your taxes up to date, so that's clear. If you don't do that and you don't want to withdraw the money, but you rather want to borrow against it, is that possible?
Do you mean you want to borrow money
from the RA or from your pension or something? No. Can you borrow against it? You're not allowed to do that.
No, so because remember, if you're retrenched, you in effect, you stop being a member of that retirement fund. So with the withdrawal, what you're doing is you are sort of taking your benefit and you are leaving the fund. So you don't have a relationship with the fund anymore to be borrowing any money.
No, so that's provided you're involved with a company, but if you're on your own, because a lot of smaller companies don't have that in place, so you would possibly be looking after yourself in the way that you've bought your own retirement or you bought your own pension of some sort.
So how that works is, unfortunately, you can only make full withdrawals if you are a member of a pension or a provident fund, which are employer-owned funds. Unfortunately, a retirement annuity doesn't allow it. So with a retirement annuity, you can only, when you are retirement age, you can make a 1/3 withdrawal, but the retrenchment definition doesn't allow you to make any withdrawals from your own retirement annuity fund.
Carry on, Sean.
So what you can do, look, as Adette says, you need to be conscious of the age of the person involved. So once you reach retirement age, which is 55, and basically, if you've got your own retirement fund, so you have your own business retirement fund, you can convert that to what's called a living annuity. On conversion, you can withdraw up to a third, and the first 500,000 will be tax-free if you haven't used it up on other benefits. So there's another tax thing you need to just consider. And then you can start withdrawing. And I think the government is busy putting in place, they said hopefully by the end of May, they'll be able to put in place for higher withdrawals from your living annuity, which is, but again, I just caution, because I just want to break up your investments into two categories. You've got your retirement plans and you've got your discretionary investments. So the unit trusts you've invested in, You know, someone who bought shares on the stock exchange. Those are the first things you should dip into, your discretionary money, your unit trusts, your money on the stock exchange. I know the share market has been horrific, but the problem is it's very hard to recover your money in your retirement fund. So rather, if first port of call should be your discretionary funds and your unit trust, your shares, then you should only, once you've exhausted that, then go to your retirement pot. Because your retirement funds are in a very tax efficient growth environment. You know, there's no tax. You don't pay any tax while it's growing. Whereas in your unit trust, you're going to be paying tax. So rather, if that puts things in perspective.
So you're paying tax even if you're using after-tax money to buy the, if you use after-tax money to buy, are you still paying tax afterwards?
On unit trust, so if you invested 100 Rand in a unit trust, a Allan Gray unit trust, now it's worth 150 Rand. And you sell that, there's a 50 Rand profit. Even though you've used after-tax money, your 50 Rand profit is going to be taxed according to the capital gains tax rate, which is effectively a maximum of 18%. But you will be paying tax on that.
So is that a clever way of investing, or should you be taking, or should you be looking at other things? I mean, it's obviously not tax efficient.
No, it's probably, you know, investing in your own name directly is probably the most tax inefficient way of investing. And that's another subject. You know, there's a lot of structures with momentum with other providers, both locally and offshore in dollars, pounds, where they can be very tax efficient and, you know, reduce the tax from an estate planning point of view, reduce it from a capital gains tax. That's another discussion, but to answer your question, if you invested in your own name and you need to withdraw the money, any profit you make on that will be taxable.
Okay, we're going to take a short break while I just give you some information about something on the market which is of interest during the COVID situation. And many companies are using or needing disinfection. They need sanitizing, cleaning on a broader scale than just putting your hands in a jar and or washing your hands or getting somebody to spray disinfectant on you. So there's an item now on the market called, it's fogging equipment. It releases a fine mist of powerful disinfectant content that disperses throughout the room, eliminates germs, bacteria. A lot of offices on retail centers, educational centers, medical centers, transport, buses, taxis, housing complexes, and residential properties, hotels and guest houses, factories and warehouses, and even some sick buildings are taking advantage of this. Now, the company that is organizing this, and you can access them, and they're very experienced in the field, is Yebo Cleaning and Hygiene, like Yebo. And you can contact Jacques Jordan. He's the contact person on 073-674-5292. You can email him at jacques@yearbookclean.co.za. So if you're interested in this, if you've got a school, you've got a factory, you've got places where you need disinfectant, both outside and inside, into rooms where it makes, where you can make the place safe. It's the highest SABS standards and it's food safe and it's extremely effective. And I suggest you call them, that Jacques Jordan at Yebo Cleaning and Hygiene, and he will assist you. If you can't get that number, look at the HRD. It's info@hrdavid.org. info@hrdavid.org. Contact me and I'll send that on to you, the information on to them or on to you. I'll give you a free quote. They'll come and see your premises and they'll assist you in every way possible to do it. Okay, we're back with Sean Global from Carrick Wealth, and we're back with Det Triel from Momentum. We're talking what to do in these times when you're going to be, you possibly been retrenched, you're looking towards retrenchment, you don't know which way the cat will jump. So now you're an individual, and you're at home. You're not earning. You must possibly take a cut in salary. What happens, Sean or Dick? One of you can answer. Tell us which who wants to answer this. But are there openings for you to sort of put your life insurance policy on hold? Could you stop paying for a month or two? Could you put your RA on hold? Are there ways to do that because you don't have income? You don't want to lose the benefit, and can you lose it going down? Can you use this to stop paying for 2 or 3 months or something? Will they grant you those kind of extensions?
Maybe I'll jump in and Dick can come in with more technical side. Just in general, most of the insurance companies have allowed payment holidays. But the problem is with a payment holiday, obviously, I think they reduce it down to a minimum cover. A couple of my clients have called me, some clients with very big insurance premiums and some with more moderate ones. So first of all, they cut your cover down to a lower level. And in a time of crisis when people are dying from this infection, is that the correct decision to make? Because yes, technically you can drop it, but is that the first expense you should cut? I think I'd rather cut other expenses than, the life insurance is for your family in case something happens to you. And now we're suffering from corona, where the chances are much higher than they were before. So yes, they are offering payment holidays, but tread with caution because you don't want to be not covered when you need it most. The second thing is sometimes when they reduce your cover for the next couple of months and they're allowing you to do this, they won't reinstate it to the full amount that it was before. So for example, I've got one client, he's got cover of, he's actually an artist, he's quite a famous artist. He's got cover for, I think it's 15 million rand. And we've got the quote to reduce it, but they said they won't increase it back to that level again. Unless he goes through a medical checkup, which is another onerous. And some of the insurance companies said they might put a disclaimer for the corona so that you can't claim to get. It gets quite complicated. So again, I'll just tread cautiously. Maybe I just can give us a technical side from Momentum.
Yes, Dad, we're looking for some sort of payment relief payment. I don't know if it's a payment holiday or some sort of postponement. What would you advise?
Yes, I think some of the companies do have good solutions. I think especially for retirement fund contributions, you'll be allowed to lower your contributions for a while. But also there are life companies like Momentum who there won't be any penalization during a payment holiday and so on. And there are even life insurance that you can obtain now if you're of certain age and healthy and so on without any medicals, and you can go for medicals after lockdown has passed and blood tests are possible again.
So what happens if they find after you've paid the first 3 months premiums and then they found you're not eligible? They give you the premiums back?
Yes, they will give you the – I think they will – I'll have to confirm that, but possibly what will happen is there will be a loading, on the cover. So, I'm not exactly sure how it will work, but you will then just buy more.
Okay. And these insurance policies, we're talking about life insurance, right?
That's correct.
So there's life insurance and then there's the retirement. So with the retirement, if you need to keep paying every month, or is there also, because that is not like an insurance policy, that's in a different way looking after your money. So if you didn't pay for 3 months, you might be adversely affected, but you certainly, you could get some relief in not paying for those few months. I mean, it might be critical to you not to have to pay.
Yes, exactly. So you can definitely, if you're a member of a retirement annuity fund, you can definitely lower, I won't suggest that you don't contribute at all, because there's a lot of, like you have to keep your fund membership open and so on. So you can lower your contribution substantially, for a few months, and there won't be any penalizations and so forth.
So these insurance companies, clearly nobody foresaw that we were going to enter a period of absolute lockdown, lack of earnings, really an economic crisis as well as a medical crisis. So going forward, what should we be looking for? I mean, I'm sure the day that everything gets back to normal, everybody will be rushing to their, look at their policies and get their policies fixed up and put into some form that, that they won't have this a repeat of this situation.
Yeah, so I think it just teaches us, unfortunately, it teaches us a lesson that, you know, you need to plan properly. You need to, because we don't know when the next thing's going to happen. You know, we good God, we'll survive this. But there may be another event, and we don't know when that's going to happen and how it's going to impact us. So just to consult with a professional to make sure you've got everything in order and hedge your bets. You know, I come across a lot of small business owners, and I say to them, where are you invested? And they say, no, well, I've got all my life savings in my business. And that's, you know, it's tough as a small business owner because that's what often happens. But the reality is, if you've got 1,000 rand a month spare, you need to have a security safety fund because you don't want to be in the same position again. So it's just plan properly. You know, again, just going back to those three buckets. Whatever spare cash, it's about choice. You need to make the choice. Do you go out for that takeaway or do you go on that luxury holiday in future? Would you say, listen, I'm going to scale down a bit and I'd rather protect it for the next crisis may happen or may not happen. So it's just really about being very mindful about the decisions you're making.
So if you've made investments up to now, and now the stock exchange has bottomed out and the dollar's killing the rand, should you be thinking about changing your investment in some way while you... everything is low and hoping that it'll come back to something, or should one sit tight?
Look, it's very hard to give advice because it's on a case by case basis. You know, each person has got a different set of circumstances. Each person has got a different set of cash flow requirements and different stage of life. And I think the fundamental principle, I think, that will apply to everyone is the rule of diversification. It's really about diversifying your risk. So, yes, have some money in your business. Have some money in some shares. Have some money in, I would highly suggest, and we've seen what's happened with the Rand, even with the Rand dropping 20%, have some money in dollars or pounds, because really South Africa is a very small play in the world. And to have your life savings all in a rand denominated investment is high risk. But just do the same. Again, whether you should buy or sell depends on the individual. I don't know if that answers you. Just you need to depend on your circumstances.
The part that concerns me is that in days gone by, it was a very simple existence. So somebody was a secretary, now they've become a personal assistant, then the insurance broker or a car salesman, you know, their names changed, now the insurance broker becomes a wealth advisor or a risk advisor. So it changes but nothing's really changed because in fact, you know, the onus is on the client to make sure he makes the right investment, but he's getting advice from specialists in this field. And I mean, I don't know how many, insurance people or people who are advising you on wealth creation could have seen this, you know, this cliff edge. And, I think, I don't know whether going forward that whole circumstance is going to change. But wouldn't risk be part of what you're doing? And how many people in putting together their portfolios or really putting, you know, to planning their life ahead have taken account of such risks? I mean, certainly in the property world or in those kind of businesses, the insurances, you know, for calamitous situations like this, they didn't account for it. So force majeure has come into effect, but you know, it's a gray area. Now we're going into a whole new, you know, we've learned a new language. How's that going to affect us going forward?
I think, Stan, if I can answer that, that's a great question. It's in two parts. So I think one is the, you mentioned about the car sales that become an insurance advisor and a wealth manager. Again, you need to deal with a, you know, someone who's reasonably qualified, who knows what they're talking about, because at the end of the day, it's life savings they're dealing with. They need to make sure they know what they're talking about, and you can rely on them, and they're reputable, and they've got the credentials. The second thing is really it's about education. So there's a, the world has become a lot more complex, but with the complexity, there's also become a lot more choice. 20 years ago, if you said you had a dollar account in the Isle of Man, people would think you're smuggling under the table. But today, it's perfectly legal. You're allowed to do it. It's actually, I mean, any bank will open a dollar account for you within 24 hours. It's about diversifying your risk again. You know, there's certain investment strategies which are fixed income. And fixed income is definitely a good investment strategy. It's not a, you know, when the stock market is rallying by 20-30% a year, everyone was laughing at fixed income, but it's definitely part of an investment strategy. So typically in our investment strategies, we look at putting generally almost half of the money in fixed income because you know you're going to get your fixed percentage. And then yes, get some money in equity markets, because you want to be on the upside, but you also don't want to lose on the downside. So there's some great investments in South Africa. There's some great investments offshore in dollars as well. It's just really about speaking to someone that makes sense. Ideally, you want to speak to someone who's independent, because you don't want to just get the house view of one brand. And just think common sense, really. It's the common sense approach. To get the correct solution.
Okay, so yes. Okay, now let's just get down to personality. So I did clear you from a momentum. You've got long experience in this game. You understand the dynamic. Just tell us about momentum, about what you actually do on a day-to-day basis. Give the company a punt, if you like. And advise people on where to go from here.
Okay, so
Question for
yes.
The next 3 minutes.
Okay, so so on a daily basis, I work with competent advisors such as Sean, and we speak to clients, we see them in their businesses, and we do risk planning. You know, so that they can plan for events like this, because, I mean, the one thing that is sure is that there will be change. So your finances and your approach to risk must be a very disciplined one, and for you, your family, and your business. So we review businesses, and we advise on how to cover for specific risks, especially death and disability and those kind of risks. And then, so we want our clients to be financially well and to live their best lives with what they have. And then, so on a daily basis, I see clients. I enjoy going out into the field, meeting with clients and their financial advisors. I sometimes go to farms and also corporate businesses throughout the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. And all I can say is all of us have been surprised by the COVID virus. And again, it takes us back to the very basic principles of planning, which is you must plan, because you don't know what you're planning for. And I mean, you can really look at any textbook on financial planning, and all of them will advise that you have an emergency fund. And so, and I speak for myself as well. I mean, how sorry am I now that I don't have 3 months' salary lying somewhere in a bank account, that there's always unforeseen expenses that you have to pay under circumstances like these. For one, I'm using about 4 times more data than what I used to. So I had to really increase my package. So if you will, Momentum will be there to assist you with all your product solutions that you may need in times of crisis in future. And please speak to your financial advisor.
Yes, I think there's a kind of a balance in life of who is responsible for what. I mean, companies traditionally didn't really, small companies, big companies always had pension funds and so on, and you were obliged to take a percentage of your salary and put it in there, and so it was like a forced saving. Smaller companies really let the employee rely on it and, you know, on their own devices. And in fact, I think now, you know, the proverbial fan has been hit, and we're now in a position where, you know, people are having to really take emergency measures and look, dig deep and find, you know, do some research into what they've been doing. So I think it is a big lesson for people to have come to this point when they should have saved their whole lives and made plans in a different kind of way, and I suppose that would have negated some of the pain, not all of it, because there's always going to be pain in a situation like this.
Yeah.
Sean Galgore from Carrick Wealth, give us a little bit of background to the company, to yourself, what you've done and what you're doing, and also a little bit of advice in the last few minutes.
Okay, so I'll just tell you a bit of my story. So I was actually about to be appointed the financial director for a JSE listed property fund. This is a couple of years back. I was just started renovating my house after waiting for 10 years, finally built up some capital to renovate my house. And then all of a sudden, our company, a listed company, was subject to a takeover bid. And the next minute, we were actually taken over by another listed company. And lo and behold, I was the single person in the company who was retrenched. As being the financial director, there's only position for one in the largest company.
Right.
For me, I built up a reserve fund. I managed to persevere through the time of, you know, moving from a very hard position. And I just decided to take control and actually move out of the corporate world. I lived in Australia. I was a wealth manager in Australia. And I decided to move out of the corporate world, and because I was quite severely affected in that retrenchment, you know, both emotionally, obviously financially. And I think just the lesson for me is you need to be responsible for your own planning. You know, yes, you must seek the best guidance you can get, but ultimately, you need to take responsibility. And I know life can be challenging out there. You know, you've got lots of commitments. I've got 3 kids at Jewish schools. I'm actually based in Cape Town now, so I've got 3 kids at the Jewish schools. I've got 4 dogs. I've got 4 cats. So there's a big overhead. There's a big budget to pay for every month. And it's just about being mindful about the choices you're making. So some choices might be difficult. But I think on the positive note, it's a time for change. You know, there's a time for reinvigorating yourself. You know, as the old saying goes, there's only good things. You don't see the positive until you pass the change. So I think you need to work through, you need to dig deep into your resources and work a plan, ask for help. Don't be shy. You know, speak to your bank, speak to your insurance company, speak to your advisor, speak to people who owe money. Rather speak than be quiet, because there's nothing worse than just hiding away. Rather speak to people and be open, play open cards with everyone. And I think you'll find on the other side, you'll find that a lot of people are benevolent. You'll find, you know, goodness in people that you never thought was there. And I think you'll come out more positive. I think we'll all come out stronger and rebrief in ourselves. So I think you just got to stay positive, as hard as it may seem. Stay positive, think out the box, think how you can reinvent yourself, and speak to people. Don't be scared. Speak to people. That's really what my advice is.
Okay, so thank you to Sean and Odette. Let's just recap. Sean Galgo from Carrick Wealth at Carrick Wealth. It's a company, you can look it up. He's in Cape Town. And, you know, if you, Sean, do you want to give out an email or a phone number?
Yeah, so we, Carrick Wealth, we've got 7 offices in 5 countries, 8 offices in Cape Town. I do travel to Joburg generally once a month. It's in Johannesburg. Our office in Johannesburg, Durban, Zimbabwe, Mauritius, Malawi. So we're an international advisory firm, actually mainly focused on offshore, but we do local South African investments and risk. And yeah, people can get hold of me. My cell number is 084-980-2448. And I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, so they can always find me there.
So that's Sean Gelgor. Now, Dan Creel from Momentum. So give us your details, your contact details from Momentum. Everybody knows Momentum. And I don't know why they decided to make the name with a lowercase M, but that's the red M. You should know it. And give us your contact details and...
So, in this instance, I think clients must please contact Sean, because I don't give direct advice. So I'm like working alongside Sean. So for all your financial advisor advice needs, if you could contact him, and he will liaise with me if there's a product rule or something of our products that he needs to understand better.
You sound like such a nice person. They all want to contact you. They're all asking for the phone number.
Okay, I can give you... Sorry, I can give you for... If you have like... Maybe you're a Momentum client and you've got some query relating to the interview this evening, then you can email me at Odette, Odette.Kriel, Kriel, at momentum.co.za.
Okay, so thanks to Sean Gelgor, Dead Creel, for coming on the show and giving us some insights into what you should be doing. I think COVID has changed the world. I think your finances are going to be changed forever, and you're going to have to make different arrangements. So be prepared. Talk to your brokers, talk to your people, and I hope you learn something tonight. Just to recap on some of the things we've been talking about, besides the Wealth, the Sir Harry Grohman Lodge of the Hebrew Order of David donated 20,000 rand this last week to Yad Haaron. And, if anybody else wants to match that kind of money, they're desperately in need of helping people who are in desperate need. So please make every effort to assist the other lodges of the order. They threw out a challenge if you want to assist other organizations. Can come along and also do that. Also, I want to just remind you about fogging. I did say fogging. It's F-O-G-G-I-N-G. And it's a way of sanitizing, you know, bigger areas and in factories, schools, education centers, medical centers, transport, etc. It's spraying and fogging the room. And that's how you've got to do it. And some of these organizations have only been allowed to come back to work because they've put in this kind of equipment. So if you want a free quote, contact Yebo. That's Y-E-B-O, Yebo, Cleaning and Hygiene. You can talk to them. It's Jacques Jordan, and he's at 073-674-5292. And or Jacques, J-A-C-Q-E-S, at yeboclean.co.za. And the last minute, I just want to wish everybody, I hope we're not going to be under this kind of situation for too much longer. And I wish everybody to stay safe. Those of you heading into Shabbos, I wish you a good Shabbos. And thanks for listening. And thanks again to Sean Gelgor and Odette Creel for coming on the show and talking to us about finance. And good night, everybody.